If you are trying to figure out whether or not you want to start a career or advance your career in the field of cybersecurity, this podcast is for you. Perhaps you're trying to figure out how to build a qualified security staff to protect your information. This podcast is for you. Welcome to Code Red, the HIMSS Security Podcast. I'm Rod Pihowski. For this episode, I spoke with Rodney Peterson, Director of National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education at the U.S. Department of Commerce. Specifically, Rodney works at NIST, where he runs a program called NICE. And NICE is all about security education, roles, and security specialties. And whether you're a student learning the field or an employer trying to write accurate job descriptions, this podcast is for you. Stay tuned.
Intrusion detected. Code red.
The HIMSS Cybersecurity Hub is a new flagship component of the extraordinary HIMSS Innovation Center. The Cybersecurity Hub is a public exhibit and education center to help people fully understand their responsibilities and vulnerabilities in managing and protecting their health information. Immerse yourself in a multi-sensory journey through everyday healthcare experiences. Explore the latest security issues and solutions, and learn how to apply a variety of technologies to impact the secure flow of health information. Learn more at HIMSSinnovationCenter.org/cyberhub. Our guest today is Rodney Peterson, Director of National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education at NIST in the U.S. Department of Commerce. Rodney, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We're here to talk about the NICE program at NIST. What is the NICE program?
So the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education, which has the wonderful acronym of NICE, is a program led by NIST and the U.S. Department of Commerce, and it's a public-private partnership, first starting as kind of an interagency effort with the federal government partners, including organizations like the National Security Agency, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Education, and others. But more importantly, it's also a partnership with academia and the private sector to build a digital economy that's enabled by a knowledgeable and skilled cybersecurity workforce. So what NICE attempts to do is to really energize and promote a robust network and ecosystem of cybersecurity education, training, and workforce development.
So exactly why do we need that? Well, how did this come to be? What's the shortage or what's the gap that this is designed to fill?
So I think it's really an issue of quality as well as quantity. I think there's a lot of figures that point to the fact that employers do not have the type of skilled cybersecurity workforce that they need. And it starts with having enough people to fill the positions that they have either vacant, open, or plan to post in the future, but also having people with the right skills that they need, whether it's a traditional age student coming out of college or maybe a middle-age employee already working in the field. And so NICE really works across the academic community, the training and certification community, and employers to really try to build an increased workforce as well as one that has the type of knowledge, skills, and abilities that are needed to address today's threats and vulnerabilities.
So is this designed to help students, or is this for employers, or is some combination of both?
Really a combination of the both. In fact, I tend to think of it in two ways. One might be job seekers. And that might include students, in fact, as early as high school or middle school, but certainly those that are of an adult age, including college students, whether they're coming from a community college or a four-year university. But it also includes working adults, whether they're somebody who are underemployed or unemployed, or somebody who simply wants to change careers. So it's a real spectrum of job seekers that can fill these cybersecurity work roles. And certainly the other part is the employer, whether it's the public or private sector, the federal government, state or local government, or a nonprofit organization. We're really trying to address both the supply as well as the demand for cybersecurity workforce.
So if I were to go in and look around at the content in this, what kind of things would I find?
So First, I should say that trying to have a common taxonomy and definition of cybersecurity workforce is what NICE is perhaps best known for. So the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework provides that common taxonomy or lexicon that broadly looks at seven categories of types of work that people might perform in cybersecurity. It then drills down into 30-plus specialty areas. And then when we published this as a NIST special publication with the number of 800-181 this past August, we added the dimension of work roles with over 50 work roles, meaning that cybersecurity is increasingly many people's responsibilities, whether or not they have cybersecurity in their job title or not. So a lot of our work starts with that foundation of the NICE framework. Secondly, we have a tool that we have invested with CompTIA and Burning Glass to create known as CyberSeek, cyberseek.org, is a website that looks at the job market to identify the number of open jobs that are available in cybersecurity. And then those jobs are classified according to that NICE framework I just described. And CyberSeek is really a tool for job seekers to know what type of jobs are available. It's a tool for training and education providers to know where the demand is and where they should focus their content, and then certainly for employers, it lets them know what their competition is and what type of jobs they might want to be pursuing. The other side of CyberSeek, however, is not just the demand side, but it begins to disclose the type of supply that's available, specifically looking at professional certifications or industry-recognized certifications in cybersecurity, the number of people who hold them, and both supply and demand are sorted by where people live nationally, by state, and even major metropolitan areas. So the combination of the NICE framework and CyberSeek, I think, really provides a foundation for that broad, comprehensive spectrum of players to really try to tackle this challenge.
Is there an element there of helping a potential employer understand exactly what they need and how to, using this taxonomy, identify it so that there's a better match on the side of the potential employee or cyber professional? Kind of help them understand what the expectations and the different roles are so that going in, there's a level set and a better match at the outset so that people don't struggle in this giant, very rapidly evolving field. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think increasingly organizations are aware that cybersecurity is something they need to pay attention to, but as your question points out, they don't always know where to begin, where to invest the resources, what technology do I need to purchase, what services do I need, and what type of workforce do I need. And so really it's a combination of using standards and guidelines like the NIST Cybersecurity Framework for Critical Infrastructure Protection, which is to be distinguished from the NICE framework, but the NIST framework talks about, you know, what to do and how to do it. And similarly, the NICE framework has something called tasks. So once you really understand the work that you want to have performed, then that translates into the type of knowledge, skills, and abilities that people need to perform that work. And whether you're a small, medium business or a large enterprise, you have to ask the question, do we want to perform that work ourselves or do we outsource it to a third party? But in any event, it will involve human interaction and human work. And so the NICE framework really provides the who, that the NIST framework provides the what and the how. And collectively, we think those two tools really help organizations to better mitigate their cybersecurity risk.
Is there any connection here in what you're putting together and how it influences or informs the way cyber education takes place?
Yeah, I think so. And cybersecurity, you got to remember, is maybe a subset of the IT workforce, both information technology as well as operational technology. And even that is to some degree a subset or overlapping with the broader STEM workforce issues, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so we start with the premise of what are those kind of STEM skills or workforce needs that can be addressed through education. But recognizing that some of our job categories aren't strictly STEM. I mean, there are proficiencies or competencies in areas like business and sociology, psychology, et cetera, that aren't traditional STEM fields, and yet there are work roles where we need people to be in touch with those academic disciplines. So our work is to really not only influence academic curriculum, but to energize, again, the creation of degree programs and courses and content around cybersecurity starting with maybe cybersecurity degrees or cybersecurity certifications, cybersecurity specialties, but even cybersecurity across the curriculum, because as I indicated earlier, the work roles is something that cuts across the organization. And you might be in law school studying law, and yet someday you may need to know a little bit about information technology or cybersecurity. So getting some exposure to that through various disciplinary methods is something that NICE is trying to broadly stimulate.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. A lot of people assume that security is strictly an IT component or responsibility. And the point that HIMSS tries to make, and I know you do too, is that this is really pretty much a responsibility of anyone who ever comes in contact with any information technology. And there's a lot more to it. We talk about phishing, for example. And that's not really a technological issue or something that technology per se can solve. You have to understand some psychology behind that and some other drivers in order to see that that's actually a security issue.
That's right. And I think you make a good point that we also think about cybersecurity and its needs across various sectors. So it's not specifically unique to the IT or the communications sector. The healthcare sector is a great example where, given the nature of health information, the nature of connected devices and the like, that health professionals, ranging from the tech employees to the doctors and the technicians that are working directly with patients, need some awareness and knowledge and skill with respect to cybersecurity. I also would add that we think of this along a learning continuum, with awareness probably being something that everyone needs in a workforce, and quite frankly, consumers need as well. Some of those basic safety techniques for being online. But as we move along the responsibility scale, that where individuals are collecting or using health information or other personal information or using devices in the workplace, then training or maybe potentially more formal education is required. So we firmly believe that the nature of our scope is broad and that it starts with that continuum of awareness working up through training and ultimately formal education.
And you did bring up healthcare, and I'm glad you did. This is not specific to healthcare, but highly applicable to healthcare, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, and I used the examples earlier of information. In fact, one of the worries I have about the term cybersecurity is that we're losing sight of what I think has recently become the more popular term of information security, because fundamentally, it's about protecting data and information. And in no place is information or data more sensitive than in the healthcare profession. On the other hand, we're also looking at ways to address systems and processes. And I think as we begin to integrate more technology into the medical office, into the urgent care center, into the hospital setting, into the in-home care setting, once we start connecting all those devices to the internet, it not only raises the quality of healthcare, it also raises the risk, quite frankly, with respect to cybersecurity or information security.
So you work in this all the time. What kind of opportunities do you think are out there for this field?
So I'll tell you an opportunity that is often overlooked, but I think is critically important. Our first category talks about securely provisioning. And securely provisioning sounds like a vague, abstract concept. You might think of R&D, research and development. And yet, when you think about emerging technology like the Internet of Things or the type of devices you're going to increasingly see in hospitals and medical settings, we need to make sure that as we develop software, as we develop systems, as we develop code, that it's secure. And historically, that has not been a priority for manufacturers or developers of these products and services. And so we need to make sure that coding is tested, that software developers are trained and educated on secure coding techniques. So I think that's both an opportunity as well as an area we really need to renew our emphasis. I would say over the past several years, unfortunately, another job category that's been in high demand is what we would call investigation. And that's really the more reactive, dealing with security breaches and loss of personal information after the fact and going up and cleaning up systems and dealing with hackers and other intrusions into systems. And while that will be necessary on an ongoing basis, it would be terrific if we could shift more of the resources toward the proactive efforts, including the workforce that's going to more proactively make sure things are secure from the start.
Speaking of the workforce and being proactive, is there anything within this program that is designed to address diversity issues?
Absolutely. So NICE has a strategic plan, and a couple of things in our strategic plan that I think are relevant to your question is we have this value to model inclusion, and that means encouraging participation from stakeholders with diverse backgrounds and viewpoints. And that starts with participation and inclusion with the overall initiative, because again, the initiative is not just about me or the program office here at NIST, but it's about the collection of individuals in the public and private sectors trying to tackle this important process. But secondly, we have a goal in our strategic plan to nurture a diverse learning community. And that diversity, again, starts with diverse organizations and institutions to make sure we're considering what's the role of the K-12 educational process, elementary, middle, and high school, what's the role of community colleges, universities, training organizations. But really, I think getting at the heart of your question, we're looking for ways to grow creative and effective efforts to increase the number of women, minorities, veterans, people with disabilities, and other underrepresented populations in the cybersecurity workforce.
So if someone, whether they're an employer or someone who wants to get into this field, wants to know more information, where should they go?
So it always starts with our website, which is NIST.gov/NICE. NIST.gov/NICE is kind of the one-stop shop clearinghouse. Certainly at that website, there's an email address, NIST.NICE@NIST.gov, where you can ask questions and get more information. And I just would say also, when you go to our website, you'll find a few things. First, you'll find that we do a series of events, including monthly webinars, that are an attempt to do outreach, both to raise awareness about NICE, but more importantly, to address some compelling issues. For example, the most recent webcast talked about how to write job descriptions that have the greatest impact, and we both addressed the need to use the NICE framework as a foundation for creating cybersecurity job announcements and position descriptions in the future. But we also took a real close look at how job descriptions themselves can have bias and really go against our effort to increase more women or minorities. So those monthly webinars are a great way to stay in touch with both our program as well as some cutting-edge issues. And then secondly, we do an annual conference that's focused on bringing the entire community together, both those who are actively working on behalf of NICE, but maybe those who are new and wanting to get more actively involved in our efforts. And then thirdly, we do an annual event focused on the K-12 community, because as we look at the long-term need for a sustainable pipeline of individuals to do cybersecurity work, we recognize that it starts by introducing kids at elementary school to cybersecurity as a career opportunity, to start preparing them at the middle and high school level for the academic work that they need to either enter cybersecurity workforce or go on to college to obtain more advanced education. So those are just three examples of ways that people can interact with us throughout the year. And then also at the website, there will be a few options for how you can sign up for our mailing list so you can get periodic email updates and alerts about the various new things that we're doing.
Our guest today has been Rodney Peterson, Director of National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education at NIST in the U.S. Department of Commerce. Rodney, thank you so much for this informative discussion.
You're welcome, and it's been my pleasure to speak with you today.
Our thanks again to Rodney Peterson, Director of National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education at the U.S. Department of Commerce, discussing the NIST NICE program. To learn more, check out NIST.gov/NICE. The other site Rodney referenced during our conversation was cyberseek.org, which has lots of great information on this topic. And don't forget HIMSS resources like our monthly cybersecurity environmental scan. That comes with membership in the HIMSS cybersecurity community. Code Red is a copyrighted production of HIMSS North America. My co-producer for Code Red is Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is our guest relations manager and story editor. I'm Rod Pihowski. Join us next time on Code Red, and thanks for listening.
Intrusion detected. Code Red.